I'm so glad to be with you. I'm sorry my voice is not being so good to me today, but I hope it'll carry through. When I was asked to share with you tonight, little did my friends know what the theme of your conference this weekend meant to me personally. Last year, on September 11th, I was in Chicago on a business trip, and I was due to fly out of Chicago at 10:30 in the morning. And then, as I was going out of the hotel in O'Hare, very close to the airport, a colleague of mine from the United States Armed Forces said to me, "Are you flying to Canada?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "No, you're not." And I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Yes, our flight leaves at 10:30. He says, "I'm sorry, the Canadian border is closed." So my assistant and I had to stay in Chicago for a whole week until we were able to secure a car, rented a car, to go and drive all the way to Ottawa. This is Canada's capital, for those of you who don't know, up north, 26 hours drive. As we were going through, my friend and I, the only Christian that worked with me, my assistant, she drove 3 hours, I drove 3 hours, and we rented the car from Chicago, and we got home a week later than the day we were supposed to get there. But the first thing when we put on the radio on our way homeward bound, as we were rejoicing that we were going, and we were very anxious, it was a very anxious week for us. Two ladies stranded in Chicago, not knowing what's going to happen to us. And we put on the radio and the car, and the first hymn that was sung was "Under His Wings." And the words that stood with me were, "Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me." We were told there would be 14, 16 hours at the border. We passed through like a light. 2 o'clock in the morning, but we did. And we got home safe. Others were around us were very anxious. People were on the floor, people were screaming. And the two of us looked at one another and said, "Well, maybe the Lord's coming today." There is a comfort of knowing that we are under His wings. This is a real story that happened to me, and I'm sure many of you here know the events of that very tragic day and how much it touched many hearts. So I sat down and I thought, what shall I share with the ladies? We have three sessions. And I thought, as the Lord led through the scriptures to a study in our three sessions, to look at the features of being under His wings. Whose wings, you ask? The Almighty God. The one who created us, who loves us, and who secured a home in heaven for us. Our first session tonight, we'll be looking into the scriptures to see the position of those who choose to be under His wings. We would like to cover what are the things that we get when we get to be under His wings. What is something that we can get immediately? What is something that we'll get for eternity? And what we will get now during our earthly journey, what are the characteristics that we will be getting? So tonight we want to look at the position of those who chose or who choose to be under his wings. Tomorrow morning, in the will of the Lord, we would like to look at the provision afforded to those who are under his wings. And in the afternoon, if the Lord may not come, we'd like to look at the pattern of behavior expected from those who are under his wings. So tonight we would like to look at the position of those who choose to be under his wings. And we'd like to look at three particular aspects. One is immediate. If we look at, and I will be looking at a number of scriptures, I like to hear the papers move. Actually, I got one of those Palm Pilots, and because I sit in boardrooms often, bored most of the time, with people discussing politics with a big P, which I'm not interested in, I've downloaded the entire Bible on my Palm Pilot. And I pretend that I'm just looking through, you know, and I read scripture, which is really interesting, by the way. I tried it and it works. But there's nothing like hearing the flipping of the pages of the Word of God. So whatever you have, if you have a Palm Pilot or if you have a Bible, let's turn to Psalm chapter 17 and see what the Word of God has to say. Psalm 17 and verse 6 says, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thy ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand those who put their trust in thee from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. What we want to study tonight is very simply three things. And as a typical teacher, I like to make them very simple. Salvation of the soul, which we get immediately. Security of the soul forever, for eternity. For how long am I safe under his wing? And strength to live the new life that is afforded to those who choose to be under his wings. How can I get the energy? Do I do that on my own? Because you will fail if you're trying to do that on your own. So we want to look at the salvation. What does it really mean? The security. And what does it really mean? And the strength. What does it really mean? You see, the verses, often many of us quoted in Psalm 57, which says, refuge under the shadow of thy wings. Refuge from what? What are we running away from? Now, I don't know many of you. I see only two or three familiar faces. Some, and I hope by the end of the weekend I'll get to know more of you. So I don't know if you are under his wings or not. So I want you, I'm sure all of you have pens and papers, I want you to write down as we go along this weekend some of the things that the Word of God talks to you personally. I cannot read your heart. I cannot read your mind. But the Lord can. And you know what is in there. Becoming in Christ is to be under his wings. Well, I really don't know what that means. Sometimes we use a lot of jargon. And when we're trying to break it down to people who don't know the language of Scripture, we have a challenge. Because we use some language that some people don't understand. So say in simple terms, and I've always taught my residents in medical school, say, well, when you're teaching that, explain it to me. I'm just a first year medical student. You explain it to me as if I'm a first year medical student. And that's the only time I know whether they have really learned the subject or not. When they can really simply explain it to someone else. What does becoming in Christ mean? What does being sheltered under his wings really mean to you? Well, what it does to me, I can tell you, is that one day, back in a small little suburb of Cairo called Heliopolis, at the age of 9, even though I probably the only bad thing I did was steal an eraser from my next door neighbor, is recognize that I'm a sinner. And that's basic fundamental truth. Nobody likes to talk about sin. Oh, we're all good. No, we're all bad. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were born with sin. This, what we call in medicine, congenital disease. This is something you're born with. This is in your genes. We were all born with sin. So I had to recognize my sinful state. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, I thought by going to church, I was being a good girl, and that's fine. I came from a Christian family. Actually, as a matter of fact, third-generation assemblies, for those of you who are interested. But it didn't make me a Christian. It didn't make me good. I had to do that myself. I had to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize that I am a sinner. And then to make a turnaround. And that is where the action of the will comes. And that is what we call repentance. That you turn around and say, I don't want to be that. Not only that I'm a sinner, but that I want to turn around, repent from my sin. Luke 13:3 says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see, it's not based on what I say or what any one of the other ladies says. It's based on the word of God. Unless you make that conscious turnaround, you're not under his wings. So I want you to ask yourself, have I made that step? Have I recognized my sinful state? Have I repented of that state and turned around and received the free gift of salvation? You see, in Ephesians 2:8 it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My immediate family grew up in the Coptic Orthodox Church, which believes in good works. You do well, you're going to get to heaven. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that no matter what I do, is useless. The Lord has done it all. All I have to do is just accept it. So, recognizing my sinful state, repenting of my sin, and receiving the gift of salvation made me under his wing. What about you? You made that step? The Lord knows your heart and you know it too. Have you really made that step sometime in your life? It's not the church you go to. It's not the scripture that you quote. But it is an act of the will to accept the gift of the Savior who died to save you from your sin. Now, we have an example, I always like those of you who know me, I like to take examples of women in scripture. There's a woman who in Mark chapter 5 verse 25 to 34, we hear about her that she suffered. It hurts there because it says she suffered from physicians. We physicians think we heal everybody, but this particular lady suffered from physicians. You know, that reminds me, many people nowadays, especially after tragic events like those that happened last year, go to all sorts of quote-unquote healing powers, whether they be physicians or others, seeking peace, seeking true healing. But there is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. She heard. You probably have been here to many of those meetings before, or have been to other meetings where you've heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. She came. Well, you came to the conference. That's a positive step. But that's not enough. She touched. And that was the essential connection. She felt, and she was healed. That's the true healing, the true cleansing and purging. And then she fell at his feet. What a wonderful example of the steps of true salvation. You must come recognizing that nothing else can heal you. Nothing else can give you safety under his wings, except recognizing that the only power is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I trust and pray that if any one of you here tonight has never made that step, that you would do it, even now. She came in fear and trembling before him. She knew her Lord had come. She felt that from him virtue had healed her. That mighty deed was done. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee. Are you saved? Are you sure? Where is your soul positioned today? Only you can tell. Have you chosen to become under his wings? The Lord created us with free will. Lord of us, you have to make that step. And you're going to be accountable for it. I trust and pray that the Lord would guide your heart today if you have never made that step to be saved, to be under his wings. Our second aspect is my soul security. You see, some people believe in the predestination. Some believe it is conditional. But what does the Word of God say? When we look at the scriptures, it's very clear. If we look at other Christians, we will fail. But once in Christ forever. You never lose your salvation. You never lose becoming his if you are truly his. For eternity, what assurance. I'm saved not now, but for eternity. So whatever happens to me, whether I make it back to Ottawa or not, I knew where I was going because my soul was secure. The body may suffer. Oh yes, I was telling my friend on the way, I've had 12 major surgeries, I've faced death so many times. Not easy for a pathologist who knows too much. Well, they used to say, internists know everything and do nothing. Surgeons know nothing and do everything. Psychiatrists know nothing and do nothing. And pathologists know everything and do everything one day too late. Well, been easy to sort of give you all the facts and figures when I was in hospital suffering from a very serious illness, which turned by the grace of God to be a miracle, and I thank the Lord for it. But you see, even going in, not knowing what I'll be like or where I will have all my limbs when I come out from that surgery, the verse that came to me was John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then I asked myself the question, which I had to write an essay about when I was in school in my scripture class, which was found in Romans 8, chapter 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or the surgeon's knife? That's my editorial. As it is written, for your sake you are killed all day long. You are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, not even the surgeon's knife, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you doubting your eternal security? Are you facing difficulties that you don't know what will come next? I've been there. I've been there 6 weeks in a hospital bed, and I knew every speck on the wall. I could count them for you almost. But one thing I was assured of was my Savior was there. I'm blessed with a wonderful husband, a lovely godly husband, and a wonderful 2 boys, and 2 daughters-in-law, and 1 granddaughter. And I love them very dearly, and they love me very much. They cannot be with me 24 hours a day. I found that out when I was so sick. But one thing I knew, that my Lord was there. And no matter what happened to my body, I knew and I was assured, and what a peace that gives you, that the Lord is there with you. And not only so, that you're safe. It doesn't matter what happened to the body, but I knew assuredly that I'm going to heaven. Oh, you know, in my practice I've seen many people suffer and die in a very bad way, struggling all the way. And I've seen people go up to glory through even suffering with a smile on their face, saying, absent from the body and present with the Lord. My mother was one of those. She suffered Alzheimer's for over 20 years. Didn't know who I am, but could quote scripture. And the last thing she said, just one day when she went to be home in glory, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not knowing what she was saying. She didn't know anybody, but she knew her Lord. What wonderful peace we have, that our soul is secured forever. And I trust that you have that assurance today, that you know, that you don't doubt, that the devil that comes around and says, well, you know, maybe this and maybe that, and he comes to everybody to make us doubt our eternal security. My soul is secure forever. No one can pluck me out of his hand. And it's not because I'm good. I'm awful, actually, if you really know me. But I know that I can trust in Him. And last but not least, our last aspect is, how can I live this new life? You know, I've tried to be good, I've turned a new leaf, I've made New Year's resolutions, and every time I try to live a Christian life, I get defeated. You know why, dear friends? It's because you're doing it in your own strength. But you see, Psalm 18, chapter 2, verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." You see, the one who is really under His wings has strength to withhold the wind and the rain of life, and also He accepts the wanderer back. How many times have you wandered away from the Lord? I know I have. Even after 40 years being with the Lord, sometimes difficulties come and sometimes you sort of drift away, sort of thing, from the Lord. But you know, the Lord is faithful. We were recounting many things in our lives. Sylvia and I, and on our way from Rochester here, and recounting how many times the Lord was faithful. And people don't understand it. People around you may even criticize you. But we know that it was because of the faithfulness of the Lord. Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord will give strength to His people." He doesn't give us weakness, ladies. He gives us strength. It's available. It's yours for the taking. If I had $1 million now and I put it out here, all of you will come up to take it. Right? The Lord is giving you strength to live a victorious Christian life rather than a defeated one, rather than a discouraged one, rather than one that goes up and down with your hormone levels or the temperature of the weather or whatever it is that goes up and down in your thermometer. You see, if I try to do things in my own strength, I will fail. But in His power, I'm assured that I'm going to be a conqueror. Paul the Apostle in Philippians 4:13, I love that verse, I've got it up in my wall in my office. It says, "I can do something? No. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Can you claim that verse tonight? No matter what situation you're in, I don't know what your life's difficulties are or trials are. Maybe you are a true saved believer. Maybe you really know that you are on your way to heaven and you have eternal security and you have peace about it, but you're struggling and you're living a defeated Christian life. You go up and down like a yo-yo. Mood swings, whatever they call them, up and down. With the weather, with the events of life, financial, physical, emotional, psychological, whatever they are, you go up and down. But you see, my Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change, He changes not. I love that, don't you? Why don't you claim His strength tonight? I love Psalm 51, verse 1 to 19, where it clearly expresses to me how the successive steps for a sinning believer who wants to come back to full communion and service with the Lord. The sin is thoroughly judged before God, verse 1 to 6. Forgiveness and cleansing through the blood. Maybe you have wandered away and the discouragement is because of hidden sin in your life. You know, those things do discourage, you know. And unless you have confessed those sins, don't go to sleep tonight having an unconfessed sin. Clear the pathway and ask for strength. The Lord cleanses. The Lord's Spirit fills your spirit with joy and power. In Psalm 51, verse 11 and 12, and restores you to full service and worship. What a wonderful thing to see the restored believer. Some people wander away. Sometimes in the crowd you don't know they have wandered away. They still go to meetings, but it doesn't mean much to them. They're not as excited as they were the day when they were saved. They have unconfessed difficulties in their lives that they haven't brought to the Lord and dealt with them. Psalm 36:7 says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." David says in Psalm 61 verse 4, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of thy wings." You see, if you trust in yourself, you will live a defeated life. But if you trust in the Lord, He will give you the strength. And Psalm 91:4 says, "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckle." I have a few challenges for you tonight, and with this I'll close. The first one is, are you really saved? Let's start from ABC. Let's start from the first step. Where is your soul tonight? Are you really under His wings? And if not, why not? Speak to someone tonight. Anyone who has a heart, including myself, on their badge, will be very happy to lead you to the Savior whom to know is life eternal. My second challenge to you today is, are you doubting your eternal security? Based on the authority of the Word of God and the scriptures we've shared with you, we can truly claim the certainty of being secure for eternity once we have become under His wings. The challenge is, do you have that peace? And if not, what's hindering it? Are you confused about scriptural understanding? Please speak to one of us tonight. And the last challenge is, are you overcome by life's events? Are you trying to do it in your own strength? Isn't that the new song? I want it my way. Well, your way is not going to work, dear friend. Only the Lord can give you the strength to live a true Christian life. The position of somebody under His wings is a saved soul, is a secure soul, and is a strong soul. Let's look to Him in prayer. Our loving Father, we thank You for the opportunity to look into Thy Word and to be assured from the Holy Scriptures that whosoever will come unto Thee, Thou wilt in no wise cast out. We pray, Lord, for anyone who's here tonight that hasn't yet come to the Lord Jesus Christ and owned Him as their Lord and personal Savior, that she would do so even now. And we pray, Lord, for those who do not have the security and peace of the Lord's eternal security of the soul, that they may be reassured and given peace in their soul tonight. And for those who are struggling with life's events, not knowing that being under the position, in the position of under His wings, means that it is not in my strength, but in His strength that I can live a conquering as a conqueror and as a Christian woman in this world that is full of doubts and fears and trials and difficulties. May she come to know, to trust in Him who is worthy of all trust, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that Thy word will not return unto Thee void, that everything that is said and done would be to honor and glorify Thee, and that we would rejoice to see someone who comes to know Thee as Savior, someone who has come to have the peace of being assured of a home in heaven, and someone who can rest secure tonight that in the Lord Jesus Christ we can do all things because He strengthens us. For His honor and glory and His own precious and worthy name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.